as we talked about what classes we wanted to do for CMU this year, one of the things that we kept coming across in talking to other campus ministries was the fact that there is a big issue in the fact that a lot of times our girls are the ones who are spiritually aggressive. Sorry, Josh.
No, you're fine.
And you know, they're the ones who will go out and they will make things happen. And too oftentimes, spiritually speaking, our guys will sit around on their hands and not be doing what they need to be doing. And there is a passivity, a passiveness with our men that should not be there, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. When you look at what God's word has to say about what men are supposed to do, what they're supposed to be, and the example they're supposed to set, you find out that we were designed to lead. We were designed to be the ones out in front of the charge. And in churches all across our country, in the churches, you know, in our brotherhood, in our own ministries, too many times what happens is the women are being more aggressive spiritually. And I'm talking about in most areas. I'm talking about whenever it comes to your spiritual depth, your knowledge and your wisdom and your understanding. Sometimes you're not very aggressive in making sure that you're growing deeper and that you are someone who is spiritually mature. Our guys struggle with being consistent in their quiet times. They're not aggressive with them like they would be tackling something else. Whenever it comes to evangelism, our guys, our girls tend to be the ones who are more aggressive. You know, and we can sit here and we can list off thing after thing after thing after thing. And I'm telling you, I've been doing campus ministry a long time, and it's just the truth. The campus ministers who are behind you guys are sitting there shaking their head. They're like, yes, yes, this is a problem. And the thing that you need to understand is this is bad for God's kingdom. It's bad for your life in general. You're going to have, most of you, you're going to get married eventually, and you're going to run into problems because your wife is not going to want you to be some wuss of a man who sits back and lets her lead the relationship and lets them lead the family. They want a man who isn't afraid to grab hold of things and say, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing, this is what God wants, and grab it and move forward. Women are longing for men like that. God is longing for men like that. Our churches, our ministries, they want our men to be spiritually aggressive. And as you look in God's word, and I was thinking about, okay, man, how are we going to talk about this in the context of slaying giants? And I wanted to try to keep it as close as I could to, you know, the whole story of David. I love it. And I decided that I wanted to go through just a section of scripture. We're just basically going to walk down through this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to walk down through it and talk about it. We'll read it all, and then we'll walk down through and talk about different points. Let's start out in verse 1. One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, I'm not sure, who was wearing an ephod. He was son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the path that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sena. One cliff stood towards the north, towards Michmash, and the other towards the south of Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come on, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows, which sounds hilarious to me. But those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And the armor bearer says, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. Jonathan said, come then, and we will cross over toward the men and let them see us. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, we will stay there and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we'll climb up because that's our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, the Philistines said, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes they've been hiding in. The other men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come on up, we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me, and the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. So Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind them. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and the field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic that had been sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. And then Saul said to the men who were with them, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, they found out it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to the priest, "Bring the ark." And at that time, it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all of his men assembled and went to the battle, and they found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their own swords. Those Hebrews who had not previously been with the Philistines had gone up with them to their camp and went over to the Israelites, who were still with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they too joined the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved beyond Beth-Aven. You see, this is a really, really cool story. As you walk down through it, I think there are some things that we can learn about becoming men who are more aggressive spiritually. That first verse that says, look, Jonathan, son of Saul, says to the young armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to that Philistine outpost on the other side." But he doesn't tell his father. You see, Jonathan, when he looked at this, Saul had all kinds of issues. And he knows that they're there. The Israelite knows right where the Philistine army is, but they're really not doing anything about it. And they've got a pretty good sized crew with them right there. And Jonathan looks at this and he's like, there is an opportunity here. He sees something that there are other people in this army that his father is not seeing. And he looks at his armor bearer and says, "Hey, you know what? There's something we can do over here. We have an opportunity." He was aware of his surroundings. He was aware of what he was going to be able to do. And so many times, I think, in our ministry, our men are not looking for opportunities. You're not even aware of what's going around you. If you were, I don't know how you could sit by sometimes the way that you do on your hands, not stepping up to the plate and making the things happen that God needs to happen. I think you choose out of selfishness not to be aware of what's going on around you. Not to see, man, this is a great opportunity for God to do something incredible. But Jonathan, when he looked, he saw an opportunity. And he's like, oh, we're taking this opportunity. And he looks at his armor bearer and says, man, this is where we're going to go. And as they start to go where the Philistine outpost is, you can Google it. You can actually see pictures of of where they went. I was reading earlier today, and I found out that, you know, just like you can go and walk the footsteps of Jesus and Paul and things like that in the Holy Land, you can also go visit the Cave of Adullam, where David and his mighty men were held up. You can go walk around in those same caves, and you can also go to this exact same pass that Jonathan and this man are getting ready to go to. You see, the second thing I think kind of in order to be spiritually aggressive you've got to do is you've got to learn not to be deterred by the obstacles. You know, I think there are times where we're like, hey, yeah, I'd like to do that. And then we step up and we look and we're like, oh, never mind. It looks like it's going to be too much work, too hard. There's this and that, and I've got to do this. And all this stuff and all these excuses start piling up because we see these little things that might get in our way. And so we just throw our hands in the air and be like, forget it. You know, I don't want to mess with all that. That's too much to deal with. But Jonathan and his armor bearer come and they realize. So basically what it is, you're walking kind of through like this valley. And on each side of you, there are rocks that it looks like they're 15 or so foot high. So you kind of walk through this valley. And so you're in a dangerous spot because you're stuck down there, right? But then when you get to where they're actually at, you have a cliff that you have to climb. You can look it up. You can see it on Google. You can look at the images of this area where they were going. Jonathan looks at that, and he's not deterred by it whatsoever. To me, it sounds so crazy because he knows he's going to go. He wants to go fight these guys is what he's trying. He knows he's going to pick a fight. He knows he's going to have to go into battle. But before he even gets there, he's going to have to go through this rough, rocky terrain, and there's a very good chance that he's going to have to climb a cliff to get to the battle. Before the fight even starts, that's what he's going to have to do. And he is not whatsoever deterred by what's in his path. And so many times as men, I think we look and we're like, man, I'd like to step up and do something, but you know, there's, man, I don't want to deal with all that. That's just too much work. And we're lazy. And we're passive. And God is longing to use us to create just this phenomenal story that you find as you read 1 Samuel 14. But the story goes unwritten so many times because we're so passive. We refuse to be spiritually aggressive. And I want you to think about right now some of the things that you know that you should be doing as a man of God. Some of the things you know that you should be doing to grow more mature. That some of the things you know you can step up and do to lead in your ministry and in the church that you're a part of. And I want you to think about the things that are going to be in your way. And I want you to ask yourself the question, am I going to stand back and look at that cliff and look at these rocks and say, nah, it's not worth it? Or are you going to finally man up and say, you know what? I don't care what I have to climb over, crawl through, what I have to do. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to do. And I'm not going to sit around and be passive any longer. That's what Jonathan does as he looks what is ahead of him. And then it kind of goes down and explains where they're at and things like that. And then you get into verse 6, and it says, Jonathan says to the young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. You know, and it is funny. He's like, come on, we're going to go over there. And he makes a point to say those uncircumcised fellows. And I think kind of what the Bible is doing for us there is letting us know, look, these are ungodly people. These are people who are not connected to God. They were not circumcised. They're Philistines. They're an army that has fought and battled against God. And Jonathan's looking. He's like, man, we can handle this. And then if you notice, he says, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. There are some times where I understand being nervous about doing things. But because of my personality, and I'm a spaz, and I'm like, let's go! Like, I think sometimes people get the wrong impression that I don't get nervous or get fearful of doing things. Because that's not the case. Now, there are certain things I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I don't worry at all. But there are other things that I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to come off. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know how, you know, and I have to battle that just like everyone else does. And here, you've got Jonathan. He's looking, and he's like, well, we're going to cut through this pass. We're going to climb over this stuff, and we might have to climb that cliff, and we're going to battle these guys. Maybe God will step in and help us out. You know, he's looking at it. And I think that I've been around long enough now to know that I can not only be like, yeah, he might possibly think about jumping in and helping me. I've been around long enough to know, and I've seen God work enough, that I can expect God to come through. I expect him to join in the fight. If I'm going and I'm fighting against his enemy, and if I'm fighting for the army and the kingdom of God, you better believe he's going to step in and help you. And I think you and I have got to come to an expectation that God is going to step in. We get bogged down. Part of the reason we're not aggressive is because we're afraid that we're going to fail. And so we back down rather than manning up because we're so afraid that it's not going to work out. And we need to look at passages like this and passages all throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. Look at the lives of the people around you and see what God has been doing. He is not afraid to act on your behalf. He is, when you are being aggressive for him, he aggressively protects and defends you. And we've got to start looking at the opportunities and the scary things in our lives with an aggression that says, I'm going to go there because you know what? God hasn't let me down yet. Jonathan has seen God work over and over and over again. Do you have that kind of expectation in your relationship with God? To where you just know, man, he's going to step in and help me out. He obviously did there. You know, another thing that I think you can do is you can have a loyal brother or sister, a committed brother or sister alongside you that will go with you. You know, it's a lot easier to be aggressive when you have other men around you being aggressive. You know, we do that, right? You know, we're like, come on, let's play football. And you always have the one guy, you know, that's like, I don't know, I might get hurt. And other guys are like, dude, come on, man, let's go, we can do this. And you rally around one another, right? You're like, come on, we're gonna make this happen. And you start looking around, and you're like, oh, there are other guys who want to do this. And you lock arms with other people who understand what God can do. And you say, hey, come on, I want to go do this. And other people will look at you and they'll say, all right, let's go. And you find those brothers in your life who are going to help you be aggressive. You know, don't go to the ones who you know are going to be like, well, have you thought about this and this and this? well, you know, this could happen and it might not work out. And sometimes we go to those people because we know they're going to side with us and we're going to be like, yeah, you're right, it was a bad idea to start with, right? But you also know that there are men in your ministry who are like, yeah, do it, let's go, right? Those are the men you grab arms and you're like, hey, I'm going to go attack this. And you want to find those men who are going to be like, let's go, let me get my stuff, I'm ready to pack it, let's do it. And you find those guys and you work together. You know, that's what in verse 7, you see the armor bearer says, go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. You know, this man isn't afraid to be aggressive either. You know why? Because he knows that God's going to work. He trusts his brother. And he's like going with the same aggression. He's not passively sitting by and go, well, are you sure, Jonathan, this is what we want to do? He's like, let's do it, heart and soul, ride or die, baby, we're going. Those are the kind of men that you need alongside of. You know, if you look at verse 9 and 10, it's kind of funny because I almost feel like Jonathan's like trying to trick the armor bearer. He says, verse 8, he says, Jonathan says, come, then we'll cross over towards the men. We'll make sure they see us. We'll let them see us. And then, where am I at? And then in verse 9, he says, if they say to us, wait there, and we'll come to you, we'll stay where we are and not go up to them. He's like, but if they say, come up to us, we'll climb up because we know that will be our sign that the Lord has given them to our hands. And it's kind of funny if you think about it, because either way, he's going to pick a fight and he's going to engage in a fight. You realize that? He doesn't say, now what we would want to do with the passive men, that kind of wussy men sometimes that we can be, we'll be like, okay, God, I need a sign. And if we were Jonathan, what we would have done is we would have said, well, if they tell us to climb up, well, we would have done the opposite. We would have said, if we're coming to you, we'll wait here and fight. But if it means climbing up the hill, we're not going. But Jonathan's like, hey, if they say come up, we'll take that as a sign that God's going to whoop them for us. But then he also says, but if they say we're going to come to you, he doesn't say we're going to get out of here because that's a sign that God's not with us. He says, we'll stay here too. He's going to fight regardless. He's in this. He is bought in. Have you guys bought into your ministries like that? To where you know, you're like, this is a fight and I'm in it. One way or the other. You know, there's those points where you know, you're like, there's no turning back now. You know, there's no getting out of this. Is that where you're at? Because when you were baptized into Christ, do you realize that's what you signed on for? Don't slip out of the aggression that you surrendered to into a passivity now that you have a relationship with God, to where you think you're like, and you gotta backpedal on those things. You entered the fight. You're in the fight. There's no getting out of it now. Once you step in that ring, it's on. And you stepped in the ring. See, Jonathan goes here and he's going to fight either way. You know, verse 11 says, so both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, the Philistine said, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes that they've been hiding in. You know, I long for the day that the women in our ministries who have been longing for you guys to do something, I long for the day that the world looks at the church and says, oh, here they come. They're crawling out of the holes they were in. Because for too long, men have been hiding in the holes. We've been too afraid to come out. And I don't. How awesome would it be for the women after this retreat to look when you guys get back and they're like, dude, what happened to the guys? They're like here. They're ready to make it happen. And they're like, and you know what? They're going to be excited about that. But for so long, we've hidden that they're going to be shocked for some of you. Some of you, I understand this is not the case, all right? I don't mean to make a blanket statement about everyone, but guys, we can be pretty honest, right, and say, generally speaking, men struggle with these issues, spiritually especially. We can be aggressive in all kinds of other areas of our life, but when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to leading other people, when it comes to stepping up in our ministries and our church and the kingdom of God, when it comes to reaching the lost, we can be really passive. It's kind of funny how like just crazy excited we can get about some things. And then when it comes to a relationship with God, there's no fire there. There's no aggression there. And that's so backwards from the way that it should be. We've got to be men who are ready for it. You know, they're going there and they're making fun of them. Then it says, the men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come on up, we'll teach you a lesson. So that's what they do. They climb up this cliff and they go up there and they just start trashing folks. You know, they are not afraid to go up and fight. They're not afraid to... He's offended by the fact that they're making fun of God and they're making fun of God's people. And he makes a decisive action and he just starts climbing up that hill and the armor bearer's right there behind him. I know for me, when it's easiest for me to get aggressive is when something that I love or someone that I love is being offended. For me, I just lose it. It drives me crazy. I have a hard time keeping I have to keep my temper in check because I can get super angry super fast. One time, I'm not saying this was a good thing. It's just an example of what I'm talking about. So one time there's two times I'll tell you about the movie theater. One time we're at this movie theater and this guy was being a total jerk and was just being ridiculous to our group of people. And I was young at the time. I was like probably 17. And we were at this movie theater. He was cussing. He was causing all kinds of problems. He and I get into an argument and he's talking about the people that I'm with and making some pretty rude and brash statements and racist statements. So you know how in movie theaters it used to be where you would come down the stairs to get out and then you're also going down the stairs here, right? So we're like jawing each other over the wall, and he's talking stuff on my friends and being racist. We're in this little town called Jerseyville, and so I'm like getting into it with him, and I have a bag of popcorn. I just dump it on him, you know, and we're like having it out on back and forth. But I was mad. I was aggressive because the people I cared about were being offended. Another time, a guy and I got into it, and my friend Marlon got into it because this guy punched Hannah's foot at the movie theater. She didn't know he's in front of her. She had her foot rested on the thing. Didn't ask her to move. We didn't hear anything. Just turns around and hits her. You know, it was about to go down in that theater. I mean, I was like, ugh! You know, and like whenever somebody I love, it's easy for me to be aggressive. You realize the world and Satan offends God every single day on the campus that you're a part of? Why is it that we get so ticked off whenever it's something that it hurts us personally or someone we love, which then in turn hurts us personally? Why is it we get so aggressive there, but yet when it comes to God constantly being stepped on and spit on and constantly being just trashed on our campuses, there's no spiritual aggression towards that. To where we look and we're like, I'm going to be the one that makes sure this stops. Now, I'm not saying go pick fights with the people on your campus who are doing that. What I'm saying is be a man of God and reach them. Be offended enough to stand up and be aggressive as a godly man to make a difference on your campus, to chip away at that offense to God that is taking place all around us. Here, they're looking down at, you know, the Philistines. It's funny because when you read the story of David and his mighty men and Jonathan, the Philistines are constantly cursing God, constantly making fun of God. They're constantly talking trash. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we always think, you know, well, we shouldn't talk trash back. But, man, you watch Jonathan and David, and they're not afraid to give a little, they jaw back and forth with the Philistines because they're offended that their God is being cursed, being made fun of. We need to have a heart that says, no, I'm not going to stand for this world being the way that it is. I'm going to fight as a man of God to make a difference in the world around me. Sorry, I closed my passage here. You know, so they go up, they fight, and while they're fighting, you see what happens is that the army, the Israelite army, is looking over, and they start seeing the Philistine army, and they're like, what is going on over there? Can you imagine, you know? And then you pull your ranks together, like, hey, get all the men together real quick. Let's see who's not here. You know, if I saw, I'm thinking, oh, man, a whole group of my men just went off on this raiding party on their own. And, you know, and then they find out there's two guys gone. Two. And he's like, what do I do with this? Well, then not very much longer, you look in verse 22, what you see is that the aggressiveness of Jonathan and his armor bearer all of a sudden ignites something in these other guys. And they're like, hey, look what's going on over there. And then all of a sudden you see this other group of men be like grabbing their swords and grabbing their weapons and running towards the fight. It does not take it's not going to take every single one of you to take the first step. It would be awesome if you did. But you guys, passivity is something that is contagious, but so is spiritual aggression. To where you look, you know, you can look at ministries and they have a bunch of guys who are sitting around not doing and not being what they need to be. And there's just this huge group of them. And you're like, everybody's sitting around and they seem to be okay with each other. There's no push. There's no drive. There's no confrontation. There's no accountability. But whenever a couple guys start stepping up, a lot of times what you will see is they'll start igniting that flame in other people. And you can start driving that within your ministry, where we start figuring out, man, look what God can do when a group of men get on fire. They chased them Philistines out of the entire area, and they stood their ground. But not only did they stand their ground, in verse 22, you see it says, the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved beyond Beth-Aven. You see, as you read through this, what you find out is that it's kind of at a standstill. You know, and like I talked about in my last lesson, you got to stand your ground, but God is wanting to advance the kingdom. You look in the Old Testament, you look in the New Testament, God is about advancing his kingdom, his reign, his rule, right? And you see these guys here, they decide they're not going to sit around and be passive any longer. The standstill is going to be over. And they go, and not only do they stand their ground, but it says they finally have moved this battle beyond where it was. They took land. They took territory for God. And whenever you have men who are sick and tired of being passive, and they decide to get up and do something, that's what happens. We can advance God's kingdom on the college campus. We can take territory that was once owned by Satan, and we can take it over for God. Someone did that for you. Someone made that decision that they were no longer going to sit idly by and do nothing. You know how many famous quotes there are about this stuff? You know, that thing about, you know, in history, if you look back over history, if men would have taken the same passive attitude towards horrible things that have taken place, what would our world be like if some men didn't decide to stand up against it and fight for what was right? It would be a nightmare. But men have stood up over the centuries and said, no, this is not going to be this way anymore. That's what we need from you all. We need you to be men who are spiritually aggressive. That you are not afraid to take the fight to Satan. You know, wouldn't it be cool? You know, every year we always talk about how cool it would be if we expanded this to where, you know, we don't have enough chairs next year to fit in here as ministries. You know, what I would like to see is us have more men, new men here next year than there are women. Not that I'm saying I don't want women to be saved, but I would like to see our men aggressively reaching and teaching other men. That we have a larger band of brothers. That we're multiplying the ranks like we talked about in the last session, because you went out from here and said, I'm no longer going to play a game. You realize this is not a game. It's time to turn things on. You know, one of the things, how many of you guys like the NBA? All right? The NBA is the dumbest league until playoffs. Does anybody agree with me? It is horrible. You watch the NBA throughout the season, you're like, this is so boring. Because they go out there and they look so passive. They don't really care that much whether or not they're winning. And then all of a sudden, what happens when the playoffs hit? It's a whole nother league. It's a whole nother game, because they look and they're like, no, we're going to win this, right? And something ignites within them, and you finally see people playing with some passion and some art. And I want to see our men do that. I want to see us go from the NBA regular season that you're going at now, to where it's kind of like, yeah, we play so many games, it doesn't really matter. Here we go, let me throw this up. He blocked it. Oh, well, let's go back down the other court. He got past me. Let me walk a couple steps with the ball. You know, like, and then to where you become those men that you see in the playoffs, where their jaws are clenched and their eyes are focused, and there's just this thing. The girls were teasing me earlier, and they're like, you're scary when you play dodgeball. They're like, because you're like just like crazy looking. And I was like, yeah, I can be kind of aggressive sometimes. That's the look I would love to see in our men spiritually. That when you look at them, you're just like, dude, these guys are serious. These guys are not playing games. They're here to take it home. But that is going to require you deciding to do something other than sitting around. And so what I want you to do for the next few minutes is just take some time. I don't even know where we're at time-wise. But just take the next 10 minutes or so, and I want you just to kind of pray about where you're at. individually pull off to the side. I want you to think about the things that you look at, the obstacles that you've been seeing that have been keeping you from being spiritually aggressive. What are those things that you're looking at in your path? And I want you to pray that you can come to the understanding that God will help you overcome those things. I want you to look and I want you to ask yourself, who are the brothers around me who I know will help me be someone who is not a passive man, but an aggressive man? I want you to pray about those relationships that you have with those brothers and what you can do to build those things. I want you to take, you know, some time to ask yourself, why am I not more offended at where the world has gotten and what it's become? And why have I not been the man that has stepped up and taken the fight where it needs to be? And I want you to ask yourself, you know, who around me can I inspire to be aggressive with me? And take some time to pray about those things. And I also want you to consider having a talk with some of the girls from your ministry and asking them, hey, you know, and each other, the people in your ministry, your girls, the men around you, do you see me as someone who's passive or do you see me as someone who is aggressive spiritually? You know, and listen to what they have to say and then make some commitments to each other, to them that says, I'm going to be a spiritually aggressive man. I'm going to take the fight to Satan. I'm going to do whatever it takes to engage in this battle and allow God to work. All right? Go ahead and break.